It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show podcast from Sonic1029.com.
At Lane Rue on Twitter and on Facebook, too. Yeah, just so they don't feel left out. I am Lane Mitchell, and this is the 235th edition of the Lane Mitchell Show weekly podcast, which is just basically a smorgasbord, a collage of highlights from the past week's shows, and sometimes some off-air stuff as well. In fact, this week, a special interview with Mark Foster of Foster the People, talking about their new album, Supermodel. And actually, before Foster the People sort of took off, hit it big, you know what that guy used to do for a living? Well, he used to write commercial jingles. Know what he was doing before that? Delivering pizza. And you will never guess to whom he delivered pizza. That story coming up.
Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, great news if you share my lack of passion for TV talent shows. The X Factor has been canceled. Yeah, Fox announced the show will not be brought back for a fourth season. I mean, now, if you want to watch amateur talent, you'll have to resort to The Voice, American Idol, Canadian Idol, Dancing with the Stars, So You Think You Can Dance, I Could Go On. And Shia LaBeouf's parade of idiocy continues. He wore a paper bag over his head to the Europe premiere of Nymphomaniac. Then shortly after, at a press conference for the film, he answered just one question before storming off. By the way, did you know that Shia is actually Hebrew for gift from God? Sounds as though Shia may have taken this moniker just a little too literally. And which famous pop star currently owes the IRS more than $700 million in unpaid taxes? Well, I'll give you a hint. He's probably more concerned with the maggots crawling around in his eye sockets. Yes, Michael Jackson. The executors of his will estimated the value of his estate at a meager $7 million, when in reality it was well over a billion. I mean, $7 million? I'm pretty sure Michael Jackson cut hush money checks to 10-year-olds that were bigger than $7 million. Michael Jackson, there is a life veiled in controversy, even in death.
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Well, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. My wife says this year we should celebrate by doing something we've never done before. Sounds intriguing, but I don't know, somehow ritual animal sacrifice seems like an odd choice. But hey, I aims to please. And the Olympics continue. You know, if I were to turn on any news or talk program on TV this week and take a drink every time I heard the phrase gold medal, you know, gold medal weather we're having. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I would be world-class wasted by the third commercial set. Fun drinking game, though. And Golden Globe-nominated actress Greta Gerwig has landed the lead role in CBS's new comedy pilot, How I Met Your Dad. I'm sure you can imagine what that one's about. And spoiler alert, I know who's going to win the Oscar for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role. Now, do I know because of my keen eye for cinematic excellence? No, but if you assume so, thank you. The reason I know is because CNN aired a segment on the Academy Awards. If you looked really carefully at one of the shots showing the engraving of the brass plaque in front of the award, it read Leonardo DiCaprio's name. Not exactly a shocker. In fact, I imagine DiCaprio caught one glimpse of the trailer and immediately started making room on his mantle.
The Lane Mitchell Show. It's Lane Mitchell. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Valentine's Day. Or just another BS holiday created to sell greeting cards and chocolates. As bitter Auntie Marjorie likes to put it. Don't worry, Marge. You'll find somebody. And Seth Meyers' first week of hosting Late Night will yield some interesting guests. Among them, Joe Biden, Kanye West, Lena Dunham, and Amy Poehler. I don't know about you, but what I really want to see is Lena Dunham host a sit-down with Kanye West. I'm pretty sure that would be the perfect storm of awkward. Other TV news, the Food Network's favorite racist, Paula Deen, is poised for a comeback. John Najaffi, owner of Sky Mall and Columbia House, he's reportedly put up $75 million to get Paula going again. I don't know about you, but I feel about as bad for Paula Deen as I did for the hockey players during the NHL strike. And movie news, a sequel is in the works for Sharknado. This time around, the cast is rumored to include Kelly Osbourne, Judah Friedlander, and Andy Dick. Wow. You know, I didn't think it was possible to ruin the integrity of a film about a tornado full of sharks. Guess I was wrong, though. somehow they managed to jump the Sharknado.
It's a Sonic1029.com podcast.
A couple of fun sales stats from this past Valentine's Day. Do you realize we bought 233 million roses? And Viagra sales increased by 25%, which tells me either you had a really romantic evening planned, or you just have a very kinky way of appreciating flowers. No judgment. Thought it was weird, too. Valentine's Day is one of the busiest days of the year for texting. Providers generally see about a 33% spike for the holiday. Because nothing says I love you quite like a couple of mindless keystrokes. Yeah, somehow I imagine that 33% finished the romantic evening alone. Or with their Viagra and roses, anyway. And hey, are you watching the Olympics? I don't know about you, I love the human interest stories. Yeah, like how that one perfectly healthy human specimen overcame his or her middle-class upbringing to win Olympic gold. Now, okay, that may sound like I'm downplaying the determination involved to become an Olympic champion. I'm not. See, TV networks have really latched onto the idea that viewers love human interest stories. So their response, let's turn everything into a human interest story. The next thing you know, the media is describing a genetically gifted child whose parents took them skiing in the mountains as a hard luck case. Maybe not the most accurate picture to paint. But I do agree it makes a better story.
The Lane Mitchell Show on Sonic 1029.
Hey, Lane.
Mark Foster of Foster the People. Now, you guys have a new album. It's out March 18th. You pre-order it today. You get Coming of Age instantly. Tell me about this new album.
Man, I'm really excited about this record. There are a couple different things, I think, about this album, just and how we've evolved as a band since Torches. And one of them was that this record, we really wanted to embrace our imperfections. I feel like Torches, like, I wanted Torches to sound perfect. I wanted, you know, for me, Torches was my version of a perfect pop record. I have a twisted sense of what pop is, but with this record, I really wanted to give it space and just experiment with space. There's moments on this record that if you love Torches, you're going to gravitate towards certain songs. But I think that there's a lot of songs on this record that have a more vulnerable side to the band that people haven't heard yet.
You know, I read an interview somewhere, Mark, that you said Supermodel was an angrier album. Now, is that a reflection of what was going on with you personally, or did you just bang out like 60 songs, pick the best ones, and 12 of them happen to be angry ones?
No, that quote's taken out of context a little bit. There's a couple songs, I guess, that are angry. One in particular, Beginner's Guide to Destroying the Moon, which is one of my favorite lyrical moments on the record. But, honestly, it's not an angry record. It's a beautiful record. And, yeah, you know, I was going through, I think a lot of what I was going through in life was more confrontational, you know, to things where, I feel like Torches maybe was a little bit more, more about escapism.
Well, back in the early days, you paid bills, I understand, by writing commercial jingles. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that was when things were good. You know, I delivered pizzas, and I was a barista for a few years at a restaurant making coffee, you know.
I heard you had an interesting customer, actually, when you were delivering pizza.
Chris Cornell. I delivered a pizza to Chris Cornell from Soundgarden.
That kind of shocks me on a couple of fronts. One, Chris Cornell weighs like 100 pounds. I can't imagine him eating pizza. Like, he's probably still finishing it. There's probably leftovers in his fridge still. Did he tip you well?
I don't even think he ordered a pizza.
Like crazy bread.
But, you know, what was funny was that we played a festival in Australia, I guess like a year and a half ago, and Soundgarden was playing. And I got to tell him that story, which was pretty great.
Is it sort of weird to have idols like that who in turn sort of idolize you and kind of have a respect and appreciation for what you do musically?
It's wild, man. But I think it's very humbling, too, you know? I don't want to say that it has more value than just someone walking on the street that walks up and says, I love your record, because it doesn't. But there's a different context, because I know that the music that's come out of that person, it probably means something different when they listen to one of our songs, the way that they dissect either what I was trying to say lyrically or what I was trying to say musically, that it goes through a different filter when it goes through their mind.
Well, musically, too, you mentioned that Torches was your attempt at making the perfect pop record. One, what is your perfect pop record? And two, there's a lot of 80s-inspired stuff coming out right now. Which song from back then do you think sounds the most musically relevant today?
Wow, that's a good question. Perfect pop record to me, God, it would have to be like Sgt. Pepper or Magical Mystery Tour. Both of those records, I think, are perfect records. That's my version of pop. Pop is such a loosely used word these days. And I guess, you know, the song that I think about the most, and if it were to come out today, it would still be a smash, is Rock the Casbah by The Clash. That song, to me, when I put that song on, it's still so forward. It's still so fresh. From the production to the songwriting to the vibe, if that song were to drop today, I think it would be an international hit all over again.
That's really interesting. That's a very different song than I anticipated you to pick. Couple more quick questions for you, Mark Foster, before I let you get on with your Foster the People-y stuff. One, what's the next single from this upcoming album? And two, when can we expect Foster the People in Edmonton?
Next single is Best Friend, one of my favorite songs on the record. Man, I cannot wait for you to hear it. And Edmonton, I don't know when we're going to come up there. You know, hopefully soon. I think that we've talked about doing just like a proper Canadian tour. And kind of just hitting places in between kind of the big landmark cities that we'd like to play that we haven't played before. So hopefully later in the year we'll be able to come up there.
Excellent. Well, so great to talk to you, and continued success. Again, Supermodel is out March 18th.
All right, thanks so much.
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show from Sonic1029.com.